The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. May be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning, children. I hope your week was pretty good. I went to camp with the junior high kids, and I thought I could outrun them, outjump them, outswim them. I can't. They have too much energy, and I don't know where they get it from. So today in Sunday school, we're going to take a field trip to the stewardship group here in St. Paul Lutheran. And I thought, because we would do that, we should have another lesson on money. So, what can you buy with money? Tell me something you can buy with money. Go ahead. There's an idea right there. Just go ahead and say it, Aiden. It's okay. Something you can buy with money. Football, there we go. I thought you were going to say baseball. Okay, what else can you buy with money? Yes. Toys. Okay, yes. Perfect. Ooh, groceries are great. Yes. Clothes. Very good. Okay, what do adults buy with money? All right, think big stuff. How did you get to church? Did you walk? A couch is a very good one. How did you get to church? Did you walk? Did you ride a bike? What was it? It was a truck?
A car.
A car. Very good. Very good. Very good. And where is it that you live? Do you just live in a tent or underneath a tree? Where do you live? You live in a? Very good. So with money, we can buy all those things. So the story that inspired this children's message comes from Genesis 14, I think. It is the story of Abraham and a high priest named Melchizedek. Abraham had just come back from battle. He won. He rescued his nephew Lot. Melchizedek was there after the battle, and he blessed Abraham. And he said, "The Lord be with you, and may he always protect your family, and may he give you abundant blessings." That big word, abundant, means a lot of blessings. And Abraham looked around and said, "The Lord has blessed me abundantly already, Melchizedek. So I, too, will honor you because you have blessed me. I'm going to give you 10% of everything." We're going to take a small pause. Today, we give God 10% of everything. This is what we call our tithing. You do this when you give your dollar in the offering plates, and the adults do this when we give our offering just before we come into the sanctuary. So it goes like this. It's the rule of 10. I have $1,000 here made up of 10 $100 bills. And the rule of 10 is I keep 9, but then I come over. I don't have an offering plate, but if I did, I'd put it here. and God, you get 100. Out of my 1,000, God gets 100. If I have $100, well, I keep 90, and God, you get 10. If I have $10, 10 $1 bills, how much do I keep? 9. Very good. How much do I give to God? 1. Very good. Now, thank you, Owen. Thank you, Owen, for pointing that out. So the rule is we just give God 10%, which may not seem fair because we're keeping a lot more. But we're not giving God money just because to say, hey, God, I know you don't have money, so here's some money. We're giving God money, just like Abraham gave God money, as a way of saying thank you. How many ways can we say thank you to God? What do? We come to church and we praise his name, right? That's a way of saying thank you. We can go to him directly and what's the thing we do? Oh, pray. We pray to him and say thank you. And that's our money. We give God our money and say thank you. Now remember, Abraham, he didn't have cash. So what do you think Abraham gave? He gave his animals. 100 cows. How many cows does he give to God? 10. Good guess. Abraham has 100 cows. He gives 10. Abraham has 100 camels. How many does he give to God?
10.
Abraham has 100 pigeons. How many does he give to God?
10.
Very good. Abraham has 100 servants working for him. How many does he give to God?
10.
Perfect. And he gave to God because... thank you. That's his way of saying thank you. Ah, very good. He gave to God to say, thank you, God, for providing for me. Okay, stand up. Face the cross. I'm so sorry. Put your prayer hands together. We'll say a quick prayer, and then Pastor Tim, you're up. Dear God, thank you for providing everything that we need. And as a thank you, we offer our tithing to you. Amen. As the children go and leave, I want to remind you one last time. This Friday, I rented out the Cuero swimming pool and splash pad. So if you have not signed up, please sign up. I need to know an estimate of how many people are be there, because I don't want to order 5 boxes of pizza and have 60 people show up. Some people are going to be hungry and left out. So I don't want that. So please sign up or let me know that you are coming so I can put you down on the list. Thank you, Pastor Tim.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. An inheritance can be a wonderful thing. You have a windfall of property or money. But sometimes it can be great trouble as well then too. Usually with an inheritance, that means that somebody has died. And if you are an inheritor, I'm pretty sure that you knew that person and more than likely you loved that person. And so there's that involvement of grief that is a part of being an inheritor. That you love the person, you would much rather see the person than actually have that inheritance itself. And it can also get very complicated with inheritances as well then too. If there is no will or if there's no clear direction in the will, it can get all jumbled up between heirs and there can be a lot of friction within the family, and particularly if spouses get involved or grandchildren and their spouses get involved, it can turn into a nightmare with an inheritance. Evidently, something like that was happening, and somebody approached Jesus as he was speaking to his disciples. Jesus, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. Jesus' reaction to this is that he's not going to get involved in that. He's not going to be a judge or arbitrator in that in a case like that. He's not going to get caught up in all those details and everything else that's going on. But mainly, what Jesus is concerned about is that this guy that has approached him has not heard a thing that he has been talking about, the things that he had been saying. Because what Jesus was talking about is that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. God is first in our lives. That God should be the very first thing in our lives. That the things of this earth, the property, the money, the wealth, anything else, come secondary. And if we have God first in our lives, then that also helps build our relationships with each other. And those are the most important things in life, is God and our relationships with one another. And so Jesus tells a parable. And this parable is quite interesting because, again, with parables, there's always twists and turns. There's surprises within a parable. Jesus tells a parable about a rich man. And it seems that this rich man knew what he was doing. He would be an honored and respected person. Even in our day and age, he was a savvy businessman. He knew how to do things. He was a great farmer. He knew how to work the land. He knew how to work his servants. He knew how to make everything in balance. And his fields produced abundantly, so much so that he did not have room to store all of his crops. And so he had a plan that he was just going to tear down the old. It's time to renovate, to get rid of that old trashy stuff, put in brand new and bigger and better, and then just relax. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy all that stuff. It's his. He earned it. He worked for it. Now, you know, we look up to people like that. People who have been successful in life, the businessmen or the people who have advanced in their fields. We look up to those people because they have worked hard. They have the abilities. They have the talents. They studied hard. They have the wisdom to accomplish those things. And so we look up to them. But at the end of the parable, God says, "Fool. This man's a fool." So why did God call somebody like this, who seems to have it all together, a fool? Again, it goes back to that point that he did not include God in his life. That God did not come first in his life, but all these things came first in his life. Now you got to also look at here, though, what God is not condemning. God doesn't necessarily condemn wealth. God blesses us, and some of us he blesses abundantly. He gives us knowledge. He gives us wisdom. He gives us the ability to work hard. He gives us the drive to work hard. Everything we have in this life is a blessing from God. We have choices. We make our own choices. Some people make very good choices, very wise, smart choices of how to use whatever God has given them. But we all make bad choices along the way. Somewhere along the way, each and every one of us make bad choices. But to remember in those blessings from God is to remember God, to remember where they came from and who they actually belong to. And so it's hard to, in our daily lives, it's hard to remember God a lot of times. We get so busy, so caught up in work or at school or just in doing activities or enjoying life, and we forget who God is and what about God. And so we too need to be reminded to put God first in our lives. And there's several ways that we can do that. Obviously, you know one way. You're here at worship this morning. You're here listening. You're here participating. You are in worship. And you have made that a priority this week, for this first day of the week in the morning, to come to worship service. But then we need to remember, too, that God is present in our lives, not only on the weekends, not only on the Sabbath day, but also every day of the week. And so it's good to remember God each and every day. And one of the ways of doing that is setting a time or times during the day for conversation with God. Just to spend time with God in prayer or in devotion, in scripture reading. And one good time to do that is early in the morning. First thing you do when you wake up, is to do your Bible studies, to do your devotions. And that starts your day off. It sets a tone for the day. As you think about that and ponder that throughout the day, what did you hear in your devotions? What did you hear in your prayers? What did you see in scriptures? And that helps guide your day through. Or another time in the middle of the week or the day is at noon. When you come home, you take a break from lunch. You've already started your day and maybe things have gone well. You have time to give thanks to God. Or maybe things aren't going so well, so you have time to stop and pray and ask God for guidance. How do you solve these problems that are happening today? And then also to carry you through the rest of the day. Or another good time in the day is in the evening, as you go to bed. To think back, reflect back over everything that happened during the day. What could you have done better? What do you need to ask for forgiveness? How better can you look forward to the next day then? And you can sleep in peace. There's different ways of connecting and remembering that God is first in our lives in all things. And to have God a part of that. Here in our parable, God is not condemning the wealth. He's condemning the fact that this man did not do or did not remember God anywhere in his life. There's no mention of thanks that the man had for his opportunity of gaining such wealth. And also, too, there's no sharing of the wealth that God blessed this man with. There are enough resources in this world. There's enough food in this world that nobody in this world should go hungry. And that's a fact. There is enough food in this world that nobody should go hungry. The problem is with distribution and also the hoarding of wealth or hoarding of food. Wars play a part of that as well then too. Food is used as a weapon many times. But we forget about God. And so people go hungry. People do without. People do not have adequate homes or housing or places. A lot of that is choices, once again. Another part of that is simply because of the distribution of wealth. We need to remember that God has blessed us with this. We need to remember that God is a part of our lives. It all comes down to two things, basically. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. I heard for a while that it was a kind of a trend to write your own obituary. And I'm not talking about people in their upper 80s or 90s or people with bad health conditions. I'm talking about young folks, maybe in their 20s, 30s, 40s. They were writing their own obituaries, not because they were sick or planning to die the next day, but because they wanted to write out what they wanted to be remembered by. And so if somebody wanted to be remembered as a great scientist who made wonderful discoveries that produce cures to illness or some benefit to society that raised everybody's level up, that's what they started to work on. If they wanted to be a great scientist, well, they needed to be working on it now. Or if somebody wanted to be remembered as a great community leader, somebody in this community who is well-respected and looked up to, well, then they could start now. Start being involved in the community, the organizations, the different things that happen in this community, helping their neighbors out. So think about it. If you write your own obituary, what do you want to be remembered as? As a good mother, a good father, a grandparent, a family person, a community member, a world leader, an innovator? What do you want to be remembered as? And start to work for that now, to remind you. God doesn't condemn this man for having wealth. He doesn't condemn this man for having plans. And plans aren't bad either. We all need plans and goals in our lives to work towards those things. But we also need to remember to have God in our lives. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbors as yourself. There is an ancient Jewish legend that goes something like this. There were two brothers who farmed two farms side by side with each other. One brother had a large family, had seven kids. The other brother was a bachelor. And they farmed. Sometimes they would help each other. Most of the time they kept their own, though. And the bachelor brother was thinking, you know, my brother has all these mouths to feed. He needs some help. And so he decided each night he would take a sack of grain out of his barn and go put it in his brother's barn. And he started doing that. But in the meantime, the other brother with a large family was thinking, you know, my brother lives all alone. He has nobody to care for him. What is he going to do in old age? Who's going to care for him? He needs to be storing up wealth now. So the brother with a large family then would take a sack of grain out of his own barn and in the dark of night sneak it over to his brother's barn. And neither brother could figure out why their supplies were not diminishing. They were always the same. They should have been less and less every time because they were continually moving grain. Until one night, they happened to bump into each other going the other ways. And they realized immediately what was happening. And they started laughing and they started crying and they hugged and there was great love. They realized the great love they had between these two brothers. As the legend goes, God looked down and he says, where there is such love, that is where I am going to build my house. And as the legend continues, that is the hill on which King Solomon built the first temple. God gives us riches. He gives us blessings beyond measure. But we need to keep God in our lives. And the only inheritance that we need to worry about is the inheritance that comes from God, that we will inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.